gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Probably not good.
What was that?
Do you think I did something wrong technically here in New York? That could be it. It is the
It sounds fine now, so.
You know what? I'm a little discombobulated. I'll tell you why.
Why?
The Stephanie Miller Show live from New York City. We're just moments ago on my walk through Times Square to get to the radio station.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a woman carrying her pants. So in honor of her, today's show will be pants optional, please, for everybody. Yeah, it's pants optional in New York. As you know, she was wearing a coat and nothing else and just carrying her pants. It is unseasonably warm here, and that sort of thing's okay.
Okay, then.
1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. You know what? I took a picture on my phone, and I'm going to back that up with Carbonite. Do what I do. Back up your important computer files with Carbonite Online Backup. Go to Carbonite.com today. Use my offer code Stephanie for a 15-day free trial plus 2 months free with your subscription, Carbonite.com. Offer code Stephanie. All right. Despite my discombobulation...
Yeah.
I haven't been back in New York in a while. Maybe she had bed bugs. You know what I'm saying? We're not here to judge.
Okay, sure.
StephanieMiller.com is the website. We have a big, big show. We have Health and Human Services Secretary Kathleen Sebelius coming up in just a few minutes, calling from?
The White House.
The White House, of course. And Senator Mark Begich from the great state of Alaska to talk about that race, which is obviously heating up. Marcos Melitzos, founder of Daily Kos, will be on. We have, like, may I just say... the best midterm coverage everywhere. Anywhere.
That's right.
Everywhere.
Everywhere. Well, everywhere.
You know what my point is. All right.
You're drunk.
So, because, as you know, the official salutation of the Stephanie Miller Show, I got your enthusiasm gap ready.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the races, you know, around the country, it is interesting how, you know, this has become the storyline. And in race after race, you know, I'm not sure it's the storyline. Because in the Ohio district of our good friend... John Boehner, who we've always pronounced his name John Boehner here, as you know.
That's right.
And not in a much more immature way. Mm-hmm. Anyway, he is spending money for the first time ever. He is having to spend money and run ads to defend his seat, and that is because of the man on the phone now, Justin. I hope I say this right. It is Justin Kusali.
Kusali.
One second. Justin, am I saying that right? Good morning, Justin.
Good morning. How are you, Stephanie? Good to be here.
Good. Am I saying your name correctly?
Kusali.
Kusali. No, okay. I did not say it correctly, but thank you. Thank you anyway. So you are running against John Boehner in Ohio, obviously. But this is, I'm hearing that this is a fantastic grassroots campaign. I mean, they keep saying the Tea Party is grassroots, which we all know is a load.
Right.
But your campaign really is.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that, Stephanie. First of all, I want to say that I've chosen to go with the pants option this morning.
Thank you.
Good.
I think that's wise. This close to an election, yes.
Though it is very mild here in Ohio as well. But, yeah, you know, I think that's the way you can sum up this race. I mean, we're an all-volunteer organization. We have tremendous support from skilled and experienced volunteers at the staff level all the way, you know, down out into the field. You know, we operate out of our home office and the backs of our cars and our garage, and we keep, you know, no overhead. Everything we raise, we put into the race. And I just think by every measure, we've been making tremendous ground in this race. I'm so encouraged by what we see here a week out.
Well, Justin, I was just going to say, isn't it interesting how the media has had this storyline forever, that it's going to be a Republican tsunami, that it's all over for Democrats? And I hear you've raised 10 times more than any opponent John Boehner has ever faced, on just like the president did it, on thousands of donations of less than $50.
That's right, Stephanie. I think the number's probably more like 20 times more. He's been in 20 years now, 10 terms, and he typically faces some sort of opposition, but it's somebody that just gets their name on a ballot. They don't raise money. They don't put a staff together. They don't put a message together. They don't outreach to voters and go out and campaign.
And isn't that amazing, Justin, in a democracy? Like, here's this guy, you know, and it doesn't sound like a big deal, but the fact that he actually has to spend money and run an ad or two is huge for your area, isn't it?
Well, it is, and I know when you said that in the intro that people might say, okay, what's the big deal, an incumbent congressman spending some money to get reelected? But, it, you know, for those of us who live in this district, we know it's remarkable. I believe he spent at least $500,000 so far on TV and radio ads. They're also doing things like get out the vote. I mean, they've sent emails, they're calling, they're trying to generate their own field or grassroots activity. I run into his people knocking doors in the communities in the district, but they're paid. You know, I'm out there with volunteers, right, and we run into people dropping banner lit that are paid. So they're doing things that people just right have never seen here.
We are talking to future Congressman Justin Kasuli, who will be the new congressman from Ohio when John Boehner will not be the speaker. He'll be known as Golfer John Boehner. And isn't that funny? They actually did a poll about how weird people think his tan is in Ohio. It's like, wait, why don't you do some work instead of spend so much time wherever you are, the tanning bed or the golf course, right?
Well, it's no mystery. This is somebody who, by his own admission, plays golf over 100 times a year. You know, if you play golf, right, 100 times a year, you'd have a great tan, too. And he doesn't do any of it here. I mean, that's what's even more insulting.
Right. I mean, it is amazing to me, Justin, that no one's ever tried to challenge him. And to me, right, he is exhibit A as to everything that's wrong with Washington and with Republicans. He is the face of obstructionism in Washington. I mean, he just, I've never heard the man come up with a solution.
Right, and try being represented by him. Right?
Yeah,
I mean,
right,
you know, living in his district. But and the district too is, it's 55% independent. The other 45 is evenly split R&D. By the numbers, it is a competitive place. We've just never chosen to compete.
Right. I would say if I were from that district, I would be embarrassed
right
by my representative that routinely breaks into tears and throws things on the floor of the House. I would think anybody that's a parent knows that he needs a timeout.
And that's one of the most frequent comments I hear from people out across the district, Republican, Democrat, Independent. And, you know, it takes people 5-10 minutes to get to talk about tax policy or health care reform. You know, all politics are local. And one of the right first things they talk about is he's an embarrassment. He's out of touch. He's not here anymore. He looks past us. So I hear that exact comment all the time, Stephanie.
Well, it seems to me that he's just, you know, he's already, you know, gotten his measured the curtains for the speaker's office. That's you know, it just seems like it's all about him and about power. It's not, the fact that he just barely thinks he even needs to campaign for this seat is pretty insulting in itself.
Right, and that was, you know, they have a Boehner for Speaker pack. You know, they're blatant about it. It's not as if it's at all veiled. He's running for Speaker, and he says that publicly, and that's very insulting to the people here that feel like he looks right past all of us,
yeah,
takes us for granted, takes our votes for granted.
Boy, and I look forward to him just crying his bronzer off when he finds out that he's not going to be Speaker.
Well, you know, it gives us a tremendous amount of room to operate. He does raise a lot of money, but he doesn't spend any of it here, at least not until the last few weeks. So people say, how can you beat a guy that raises millions? Well, he doesn't spend millions here. And the other thing is, they have so oversold this narrative that he'll be the speaker, they'll retake right the House. They've really right hamstrung themselves to openly campaign here.
It's insulting to those of us that think that people should actually be allowed to vote first before
right
somebody
imagine
gets appointed.
Right.
Let's talk about you, Justin. West Point graduate, former Army captain, attorney, small business owner. And here's the part I love is you must be a committed Democrat. Your two kids are named Caroline and John?
That's right.
That can't have been a coincidence.
Well, in all honesty, it is. I have to make a confession. My wife was a lifelong Republican until she voted for me in the primary. So it was definitely not. She would not claim the connection for our kids if asked. And it is coincidental, but maybe appropriate. I don't know.
That's funny.
There you go.
That is funny. Well, you know, Justin, what do you talk about when you're out talking to voters? Because I'm hearing, you know, over and over again from, you know, even people just working, our listeners working campaigns, that people are actually hungry to talk about the issues and get information. They're tired of these just attack ads.
Oh, absolutely, Stephanie. I mean, again, I think all politics are local, and the things that I hear most often in this district are, number one, they want an accountable and accessible public servant. And I think that gets right at the heart of what they see John Boehner's failings are, regardless of policy, just somebody that's available to them and listens to their concerns and advocates for them in Washington. And the second thing is a laser focus on the working middle class, on job creation, economic development. And those, you know, substantive policy, that is where everyone is focused. It's about the economy and how do we get people to work.
Yep. Yep, absolutely. And, you know, as the president keeps saying, and I think it can't be said enough, even Paul Krugman, I don't know if you read his column, who certainly, you know, is on the liberal side and really thought the stimulus should be much bigger, said, we cannot go back to these policies that got us here. It will be a disaster. I mean, we are heading in the right direction. And, you know, so I, you know, rather than screaming where are the jobs like the Boehner does
right.
from time to time, the president's actually doing something about it.
Exactly. And you know, they don't even try to pretend. John Boehner and his cohorts don't even try to pretend that they have something to offer or something different to offer. They, you know, they admit, we'll take you back. We'll go back to where we were, which was disastrous. But,
right.
Yeah, people need substantive, you know, discussion. And we need to put steel workers and machinists back to work in this district, for example. And tax cuts and free spending might sound great and, you know, as an attempt to win votes. But people know there's no there.
Yep. Yep. No, I mean, Bill Clinton said it best yesterday. He's like, I gag when these Republicans talk about fiscal discipline and spending. He said,
right.
Who's the last president that gave you a balanced budget?
Right.
You know. So anyway, Justin Kasuli, who is running against John Boehner in Ohio. Don't let him tell you about enthusiasm gap. Get out there in Ohio. Justin, thanks so much and best of luck.
Thank you for having me. It's great to be here, Stephanie.
All right. Thank you, sir. There he goes. Justin Kasuli. He's awesome. Wow. How funny would that be? How long would John Boehner, now I can say Boehner, how long would he spend? You saw me stumbling because I haven't pronounced it Boehner
I know.
In many years.
Yeah.
Oh, the Boehner just crying his bronzer into his Rob Roy at Barbie's Bar and Grill.
I had stuff embroidered, speaker, on my golf clothes.
Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Save my life. Yeah, you gotta get up, you gotta get off, you gotta get down, girl.
Mm. Oh, dear God. What is wrong with me?
What is...
I cannot work the equipment here in the New York Bureau.
Oh, boy.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show.
You need to come home.
What?
You need to come home.
23 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. No, I'm here for fancy stuff, for God's sakes.
What kind of fancy stuff?
Well, these are the fun facts about Mama's New York trip. I am going to dinner with Ed and Wendy Schultz tonight. Isn't that fancy?
That is pretty fancy. Ed eats a lot.
Stop it.
Well, he does. Not. He's a big man.
He shoots everything he eats. Don't leave him alone.
Okay.
And listen, the hunting is tough in Central Park. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
You got to be a good shot. Okay. And what else? Oh, I'm here for, T.J. Martell Foundation, big fancy benefit for breast cancer tomorrow
mm-hmm.
night here in New York City with the guy that owns the show that's trying to kill me for the life insurance money.
Ah, okay.
Uh-huh. And then Thursday night, as you know, being a professional gay, I am going to the campaign for, what is it, the Equal Rights Foundation, all the folks, the fine folks behind No on Prop 8.
Right.
Ted Olson will be speaking and Mayor Bloomberg will be speaking. Check it out. All right. And so I'll have stories this week in the Big Apple.
All right.
And if you've just tuned in, I just saw a woman a few minutes ago in Times Square with no pants. She was carrying her pants, however. She was wearing just a jacket. You know, it is unseasonably pleasant here in New York. It's going to be 70s today, I understand.
Oh, that's nice.
Mm-hmm. The bed bugs are dancing in the aisles.
Mm.
I don't know if I have, I'm probably, that's what I'll bring you. So I don't know what you guys wanted, but I will probably be bringing you bed bugs.
Just what I've always wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Blood-sucking insects.
All right. So lots going on here in New York, the home of Carl friggin' Paladino.
Yeah. And the rent is too damn high guy.
Yeah, although I'm not, yeah, there may be, he may not, there's maybe some technicality where he can't even run, which would be a tragedy.
Why?
Like epic proportions. I think because, I don't know, there's something about he doesn't have a lieutenant governor candidate, so technically they should have caught it before that he can't really even be on the ballot. I don't know. Who knows?
So they don't have their crap together there in New York.
I think having a rap song should be enough to get you on a ballot here in the United States of America.
Does the madam have a lieutenant governor?
Somebody has, I'm sure, has worked under her. I don't have my box, so I can't play my own.
Yeah.
All right. By the way, we are in the final countdown. Listener Ken in Cleveland by the way, has sent us a montage because it is getting excitating, folks. 1 week from today, Election Day. Do we have that?
Here we are, the final countdown to Election Day 2010.
Some of you look a little more Asian to me. I don't know that.
I'm not a witch.
Why did Rand Paul once tie a woman up, tell her to bow down before a false idol, and say his god was Aqua Buddha?
Big fat boners.
And I don't want them to be brainwashed into thinking that homosexuality is an equally valid or successful option.
You're just
what
jealous
would you
that
do
you weren't
in
on
what?
Saturday Night Live.
I'm dying to see who's going to play me, Christine.
Mr. Brown, you've run an ad depicting your opponent's nose growing like Pinocchio.
Yes. I think it's a hell of an ad.
Hi, this is Governor Sarah Palin. I'm calling on behalf of my friend Joe Miller, who's running for U.S. Senate.
Rich Hyatt, ready to challenge business as usual in Congress from day one. Rich Hyatt for Congress.
Where in the Constitution is separation of church and state?
It's in...
No, an excellent point.
Hold on, please, please.
Thank you, listener Ken.
Fabulous.
How polite is Mr. Coons there?
Yeah.
Oh, an excellent question. No, it's not. She's the biggest dope that's ever run for office in this country. This is what, who was talking to us about this yesterday? Oh, Rude Pundit, of course.
Yes.
In his rude and inimitable style. That this is part of, you know, this election season, the mainstream media has to pretend like this is a serious candidate, I guess. You know what I mean? Doesn't it just kill you? There's this level of politeness on TV or in mainstream media that, well, you know, I think what she meant, she didn't mean anything. She's a moron.
Yeah, she...
For God's sakes, why can't someone just go, she is too blanking stupid to be United States Senator?
She's... Well... At least the people of Delaware are recognizing that because
yeah,
she is
clearly they
very
are.
Far behind. So kudos to them. However, the people of Nevada.
But it is a good idea for Roger Ailes as these things go, I suppose.
Yeah.
All right. So Bill Clinton, by the by, out on the campaign trail, as I was mentioning earlier.
They believe tomorrow's electorate will not show up. If you prove them wrong, you will have a blowout here.
Yeah, that's the thing. Doesn't it just kill you? Like even watching the pundits do their Scooby Doos, like they've been saying one thing for months and months and months. Enthusiasm gap, Democratic wipeout, blah blah blah. And it's just, you know, duh. Now they're saying the same stuff we've been saying, Chris, for months. It's like, well, Democrats seem to be coming home. Well, oh, I don't. Oh, heavens, look what's. It's like, oh, come on.
I have to say, at least where I live, the get out the vote effort is really, really strong. I've been getting tons of phone calls saying go to the polls on Election
yep.
Day.
Yep.
So
yep,
we got our crap together.
All right. 29 minutes after the hour, apparently Kathleen Sebelius, she doesn't realize.
And they're not answering.
The level of show that she's been booked on.
And they're not answering any of their phones. I don't know what's going on there. So.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Hopefully we will.
Maybe it was your interview with Boners.
Perhaps.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's always a chance that someone could actually be listening and thereby cancel. All right. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
God is my co-pilot. And
Stephanie Miller
is my hot stewardess.
Thank you. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. Kathleen Sebelius has been rescheduled for tomorrow, Health and Human Services Secretary. Harumph, why dare she? How dare she? What could possibly be more important than the Stephanie Miller newscast?
The White House.
1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. David in Seattle, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Dave.
Hey, love you, Stephanie. Love you
Thank
guys.
You, baby. Me too.
Hey, don't you think that...
I mean, I love you. Wait a minute. What?
I know. I can feel it through the airwaves.
Yes.
You know, the last 2 years, I feel like we've been bombarded with, like, a form of propaganda by the, you know, enabled, you know, by the, you know, CNN and all those, and all the channels. I mean, 24/7, constantly, giving the tea bag, the tea party, all this attention.
Yep. And credibility.
You know,
and not just saying, these are a bunch of lunatic fringe whack jobs.
Totally. And are they that desperate to get back into power that they'll just lie to their teeth constantly? And you know, the network media, you know, except for certain shows, are just giving them this microphone, totally unchallenged on the facts. Like if you rip their costume off right on, you know, right on camera at 1 o'clock
right.
in the afternoon, West, you know, West Coast time, you know, when all the elders are watching TV, then they'll see that, okay, this is about privatizing Social Security and abortion. That's all this
right.
what the super glue that's keeping them all together.
Yeah, can you believe that George Bush came out and accidentally told the truth and put his foot in his mouth right before the election?
And
it's like, this is what they want to do. This is the one, you know what I mean? Talk about going back to Bush policies that got us here. He's like, yeah, I would have done more damage if you'd let me.
There's so much death and destruction, Stephanie. It's freaking believable.
I mean, why would you even admit that you wish you would privatize Social Security when...
You wonder what kind of meds he's on because he's truly off his rocker,
yeah.
seriously.
Yeah. Yeah. No, but I mean, seriously, you go, okay, so if our seniors had gambled away their retirement benefits on
right.
the stock market,
yeah.
right?
2005, you know, when they tried to pull that stunt, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like they're going to buy it, even if, I don't believe, if they're a teabagger, you know, fine. And they're
well, you know what it is, David? It's like Bush and these others still trying to spin Iraq like it was a good idea. You know what I mean? Then, well, I think we're better off with Saddam Hussein. It's like, what?
Yeah, with a straight face, too.
Right.
You know, especially during the news hour, not the shows, you know, like Keith Olbermann and Ed and all that, but like before all the show starts. I mean,
yeah.
just constantly. And
yep.
it's criminal. It really is. We've got
yep.
to seriously keep focused and help each other. And I love
yep.
you guys so much. I don't know what I'd do without you.
Oh, me too. I love you, David. All right. What would I do without me? That would be it would be difficult.
I'd be unemployed.
Exactly. No, I'm sure Randy Rhodes would find something for you to work under her. She's a thing for you. All right.
I know. It's kind of creepy.
No, it's not.
She's practically married, for crying out loud.
She is. The Howard is delightful.
Yes.
He is much more successful than you are. He's
way more successful. What she sees in me.
All right. So lots to get to. We played a Bill Clinton soundbite, and I think he shares David's frustration. It's just this sort of rewriting of history.
Yeah.
That you go, what? What? It's not that long ago, is it? I mean, that's going to be the question of these midterms, isn't it, Chris? It's like, was it really that long ago that you forget, like, how we got into the, you know, and again, the wars, one of the big reasons we're mm-hmm. in this deficit, in tax cuts for the rich.
Yep.
Former President Bill Clinton is disturbed and ticked off by much of what he's seen in the midterms. He was speaking at a rally for John Dingell, Democrat of Michigan. He said he argued right-wing rhetoric against government spending does not accurately frame how Democrats have tried to aid a country still reeling from a recession. And showed frustration that the attacks against Democrats seem to have stuck in some places. He said, I almost gag when I hear these Republicans lambasting the president and the Democrats in Congress. Oh, they're such big spenders. They're just crazy. They're quasi-socialists, he said. I have a simple question. Who's the last president to give you a balanced budget?
Right.
Snap.
Yeah.
He said, I like all this enthusiasm, and frankly, there are a few things about this election that got me somewhere between disturbed and picked off and ticked off. He said he understands why voters are so concerned about the economy, but voters often forget that things have improved in recent months. He said this is not cause for applause, he said, of the slow progress, but it should give people pause before they throw out the present coaching staff and bring back the people that led them to several 2-9 seasons.
Yes.
And that's exactly right, isn't it? Exactly. Let's give the boy a hand. But, you know, honestly, who better to frame it than Bill Clinton, who, you know, absolutely, I mean, this is the thing, like, we talk about, they literally, people like Sean Hannity skip over, it's like, oh, it was the Clinton-Gore recession that apparently, huh?
What?
Yes. Somehow Barack, Bill Clinton, or George Bush, I guess, left us with a magnificent economy, as we all remember.
Yeah.
Bye? All right. Michelle Obama. Also, now they're breaking out the big guns on the...
We're here to restore that dream. We're here because we believe that no child's future should be limited because of the neighborhood they're born in.
Cha.
Mm-hmm.
I love... Could you take out your organ for me? I don't know if I mentioned this story yesterday that Christine O'Donnell
yes.
is running because of God.
Yes.
Well, as you know, God spoke to her... audibly during the primary, which
God
is right
the
there.
Reason that I'm running. Yeah.
Yeah. Was that? Oh, we actually have that. God's the reason she's running?
Yeah, God is the reason that I'm running.
I got you guys. Yeah, God and I are like so, like he was talking to me audibly, like during the primary, and he was all like, and I was like, whatever, credibility.
He gave me
like,
a promise ring. He gave me a promise ring,
and I'm like, all like, what? Okay. Yes. Let's just start with that. She
God is
God
the reason that I'm running.
Audibly spoke to her. Mm-hmm. And we all know God does not pay attention until the general, like the rest of us, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
The sports people, he doesn't pay attention to the playoffs. What are you praying during the regular season for? Idiots. He said, she said, if I didn't believe there was a cause greater than myself worth fighting for, if I didn't believe it takes a complete dying of myself, I suppose she
said,
you know, in a Christ-like way.
Oh.
To make things right in this election cycle, I would not be running. God is the reason I'm running.
God is the reason that I'm running.
She believes prayer plays a direct role in the campaign, claiming a bump in the polls the day some of her supporters had a prayer meeting for me. Oh, well, honey, you better schedule a bunch more of those.
Oh, boy.
Have you done the math on that, Chris? How many of them there would it take to, what's she behind? Is she behind 40 points?
Yeah.
Or what is
something
it now?
Like that.
30?
I think 38.
38 points?
Something like that, yeah.
Time is running low, kids, for those prayer meetings.
Yeah, that's why she went to Pat Robertson's network.
Throughout her campaign, O'Donnell said she has prayed that God will allow her to win and serve as his voice in Congress. Because, yeah, I've often thought, Chris, if God, if you could hear the audible voice, he would sound exactly like Alicia Silverstone in Clueless.
God is the reason that I'm running.
Oh, my God, you guys. God, you gave me this desire, she said. Oh, my gosh, she's letting us in on her private conversations with God.
Can you
God,
do that?
God, you gave me this desire. You gave me this desire of my heart to serve the people of Delaware, to go in there and be your voice in Congress. Oh, my God. Seriously? How delusional do you have to be to think that you would be the voice of God in Congress?
Yeah.
I don't think God would come in human form with bangs. I just don't. You know what I'm saying? That right there.
I don't think God would have sex on a satanic altar. Even the week before Halloween, he wouldn't do that.
What if God was one of us, Chris? And what if he was Christine O'Donnell? You see? We're already going to hell, but I'm just saying that would be more reason that we're going to hell, because we disbelieve that Christine O'Donnell is the voice of God.
I'm not going to hell. I don't believe in hell.
Oh, my God. Christine, it's God again. Oh, my God. So, I don't know. Just somehow, I don't know why. I don't think God's a giggler, frankly.
God is sitting, laying stomach down on his bed, just twirling the phone cord in between his toes.
Exactly.
And I got it, Christine.
Right. And Hello Kitty underpants.
Yes.
Just, I don't know.
A pink phone. A pink princess phone.
Yeah, that's probably how he contacts her.
Yes.
Christine, OMG. OMG, LOL. OMG. Well, he would say OMG.
OMG, yeah.
OMG. This is great. I have to tell you something. Okay. Because she says that she actually only heard the word credibility is what God said during the primary.
But she lacks
those
that.
Of us that are, you know, not as godly as she was might think that means you have no credibility. Get out.
Yes.
But apparently she took it the opposite way. Okay. Thank you for that story. Thank you for that. That's precious. Max in Los Angeles, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Max.
Hey, good morning. I think God could do a little better than Christine O'Donnell, actually, but if there was a God. But people like Christine and Sarah Palin and the Teabaggers, they started getting traction once people started looking at a candidate and saying, I think I'll vote for this person because that's somebody I could have a beer with. You know, that's when the bar was lowered.
Yeah.
For these people to get through, and what I would love to see the president.
And if you've ever had a beer with a dry drunk like George Bush, it is delightful.
Very scary. What I hope to see the president do in the next 2 years is crack down on these Republicans. You know, he's really got to start making some real headway on the issues like don't ask, don't tell, and gay marriage, because you know change is hard.
Yeah.
But in 2012, if real movement on these issues has not been made, that's when the president is really going to be in trouble, and that's when we're all going to be in trouble. And I support him, and I love him. I'm frustrated sometimes. He's been mostly great.
Yeah. But I'm with Joe Biden. I say you bitches get it together. That's what I say.
I agree, but I mean, he's got to get it together too, though. It's a two-way street.
Yep.
We can't just keep backing
right.
him and doing the heavy lifting. He's got to do something on this too, and
yeah.
I think he will.
Yeah, well, I agree, but I mean, that's why I have said this is too important, Max. You're absolutely right, and I've said it over and over that it just we are at a critical tipping point in a lot of issues in this country, including the
sure.
gay rights issues that you mentioned. And, you know, now is not the time to throw
well,
a blank fit.
Like Carl Palladino?
Yeah.
Our option is a Carl Palladino.
Any of them. Any of them. Christine O'Donnell. What's that?
Meg Whitman?
Right. I mean, Jim DeMint? I mean, seriously. I mean, it's hard enough being gay and being a teacher. I mean,
absolutely.
He would like to just remove that option for you entirely.
As I've said, as any gay person or any progressive is, you got to get out and vote. We got to
yeah.
get it done.
Yep, absolutely.
Day.
Get her done. Thank you, Max. Appreciate it. All right. 45 minutes after the hour. Get her done! 1-800. You know, right before elections, I go into Larry the Cable Guy mode. You know I do.
That really gets out the vote.
Eat her down. 46 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is a happening spot.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. There it is. Skype is working. I can see you. Oh, I can see you there in L.A. What? Get the condoms off the ceiling.
I'm sorry.
Knock those beer cans out of the way. I leave for 2 days. Oh.
I'm sorry, Ms. Miller.
Moot cave. 51 minutes after the hour. By the way, your lighting is awful.
So is yours. You look like crap.
Oh, no. You?
Or is that just the way you usually look?
So wait, I look a little bedraggled in New York.
Just a little. Maybe it's all the bed bugs.
But at least I'm not the woman that was walking through Times Square carrying her pants.
Yeah.
It is a...
Did you really get a picture of that?
No.
Oh.
But I should have.
Yeah, you should have.
I should have.
You have a camera.
In New York, and you know the best thing about New York is it's not really... People don't even... Nobody was really even paying attention.
Was she wearing underwear?
Or could
you see
so.
Her cooter?
You know what? I was really trying not to look that closely, to be quite honest with you.
Well,
I was like, well, there's a woman that looks naked in a coat and carrying her pants. And it's Times Square. Nobody's looking. They're like, you know.
Yeah. It's all the tourists looking up at the pretty lights.
I remember walking through Columbus Circle years ago, and there was a man defecating on the sidewalk. And again... Kind of not the most interesting part of the story in New York. The interesting part, nobody really paying attention.
Sure.
Just rushing to and fro. And I'm like, well, that's kind of disgusting.
You don't see that in Lockport, do you?
You don't see that in Lockport.
No.
Of the transit from Cheek to Wagatanawan and Lackawanna. All right. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Senator Mark Begich calls in next hour from the great state of Alaska. That race, cattywampus.
Yeah.
And awesome.
The race for the other seat, the other
yes.
Senate seat.
Yes, yes, not his, obviously,
right.
But yes, the Joe Miller, Lisa Murkowski, and oh dear God,
McAdams.
Thank you, who has a shot now?
He
by
does.
The by,
he does.
How awesome if the Democrat wins?
That would be awesome if there would be two Democrat senators from the state of Alaska. I don't know how long it's been since that's happened.
Oh God, Caribou Barbie. Well, if it's possible, she'll get even screechier.
Yeah.
I fear for Todd's eardrums.
Yeah. I fear for poor Trigg's eardrums.
Yes.
I mean, those sensitive little, you know, infant mm-hmm. eardrums? Holy cow.
Mm-hmm. Yes. All right. Yes, still my favorite moment from the campaign is when she didn't know where Trigg was. On the, remember the campaign rally in Florida?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'm here with my hot. Where's Trigg? Who's got Trigg? Anyway, she just went on like, whatever. Doesn't really matter. Doesn't really matter where the newborn is.
Yeah, no, mm-mm.
All right, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Perry in Indianapolis on the president. Hello, Perry.
Good morning. I just wanted to comment. 1 week away, hopefully we can survive. But my biggest problem right now with President Obama is he trusted Republicans way too much. I hope that changes in the next 2 years. For instance, the health care. I mean, he campaigned on public option, then he dropped it because he cut a deal with the pharmaceuticals and the health care industry, and they stabbed him in the back, and now they're already doing what they said they wouldn't. They're raising premiums, and so employers are raising their charges to employees. I mean, it's a mess, and it's only going to get worse because he trusted these evil, greedy corporatists.
Right,
and
but Perry,
he looked like a fool doing it, and then he lied and said he didn't campaign on public option. He had the supermajority. He should have rammed it through and played the badass that he said he was. And that's my biggest beef with him, is that he got schooled by the very people he said he was going to eliminate.
Perry, I got it, and you seem a little angry, but,
well,
you know,
just got told,
right.
Like a fiddle.
But my point is, this is why we've got to go to the polls, and we've got to give him some more support, because we need to go forward on health care. We need to strengthen it, you know. It is a start. You can't say it's not a start that 30 million more people are insured, that you can't get dropped for pre-existing condition, and kids can stay on health care till the 26th. That is a start. And you're absolutely right. We need to go further, you know, and I understand your anger. But if we put Republicans in, they're going to repeal it, or they're going to try to defund it.
Well, the problem right now is that they're raising premiums, and these are going to be unfunded premium hikes. So it's going to be a mess. I'm telling you right now. I'm seeing it on the street level from company to company. It's bad.
Well, okay. First of all, again, maybe your anger should be directed at the insurance companies who have been doing this forever, you know, and who've...
My anger is that Obama trusted these people. He said he wasn't going to trust them during the campaign, and then he got scared and he cut these sweetheart deals. It was nothing but corporate welfare.
Okay. Perry, thanks for calling.
Aww.
He might need to show me where the president touched him on the doll, but
it sounded like his heart was going to explode.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get it. I get that we didn't get everything we wanted on health care, but this is what I don't get, Chris. How do you take your anger and go, well, I'm not going to vote, or I'm going to, you know, let the Republicans get in?
You can't do that.
I mean, they are funded solely by the insurance companies. Do you think things are going to get any tougher on the insurance companies if you put Republicans in?
We need Democrats.
They'll make sure there's no regulation.
We need Democrats in there to modify the health care bill to make it more what we wanted.
Thank you.
Otherwise, we're going to go back and get stuff taken out of it.
Right. I mean, listen, when you have, you know who I, one of the people I trust most on this, when I have Senator Bernie Sanders on here, who says the same thing I'm saying about healthcare? You know you can trust it. I mean, I'm just a fart joke comedian, but Bernie Sanders is a Medicare for all, you know, a healthcare guy.
Mm-hmm.
And if he says this is a good start, then I trust him.
Yep.
Let's go to Wally in Michigan. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Wally.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
Hey,
go ahead.
I've just got a brief slogan here. Anyway, working people voting for Republicans is like a chicken voting for Colonel Sanders.
Thank you. Very good. You're the smartest boy in class this morning. Yeah, I mean, that'll be part of this equation, right, Chris? Will people finally, at least some or enough to avert disaster, realize that they are voting against their own best interests?
Hopefully people will realize
this Tea Party is not any grassroots blah, 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 blah. You know, it started, speaking of our health care caller, started with the insurance companies.
Yep.
You know, of course they didn't want this health care to pass. They didn't want anything to pass. They don't want any regulation. And so that's all. How do we have a poll where 8% of the American people, only 8% know that this president gave 95% of us a tax cut? A tax cut.
That's the Democrats.
And this whole uprising is about taxes are too high, and, mm-hmm. you know, and they've got them fighting for the top 1% to keep their tax cuts, which are going to cost us trillions of dollars.
Like the president said, the marketing was messed up.
Yes. Okay. 58. See? That guy with his panties in a twist got my panties in a twist now.
Oh, geez.
58 minutes. I'm going to take my pants off now. 58 minutes after
Well,
the
then
hour.
I will, too.
Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Minutes after the hour, it is the Stephanie Miller Show live from New York City this week. StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice DD Jim Ward, both in the LA Bureau, or me, Stephanie Miller. I'm not really sure we can even go on.
I know.
What with the sad news
Very
that Paul,
news.
The World Cup predicting octopus, has died.
He was just 2.5 years old. He passed peacefully during the night of natural causes. He'll be remembered for predicting the winners of all of Germany's World Cup clashes and the final by selecting Spain over the Netherlands. And before each game, the octopus would choose one of two boxes, each loaded with a muscle food treat and marked on the outside with one of the teams.
Yes.
His death was not entirely unexpected, since people were hungry and they liked calamari. No, that's squid.
That's squid.
That's a whole different thing.
Although grilled octopus can be delicious.
I know, but that's true, Jim. That's homicide. They're very smart octopus. I think.
Did Paul have any thoughts on the midterms, or was he only soccer?
Well, since Germany is not participating in it,
he's German, so he didn't care.
He probably likes Ayat, the Nazi. Reenactor here.
No, there are no more Nazis in Germany. Well, they're very quiet.
What I'm saying is I'm guessing he's betting the Nazi uniform guy's going to win here in the primaries. Okay. All right. Hey, speaking of pets, I've got some bed bugs I'm bringing back for all y'all.
No!
The breaking news, of course, here in New York City. Yeah, it's still a bed bug outbreak.
We should send them some cedar side.
Exactly. Have I mentioned that the pest control industry as a whole is it's a scam?
I've heard that.
Cedarside.com. Check it out. Just saying. New York City's bed bugs. As bed bugs creep out New York City, tourists crawl away. New York City's bed bugs have climbed out of bed and have marched into landmarks like the Empire State Building, Bloomingdale's, and Lincoln Center, causing fresh anxiety among tourists.
They're at Lincoln Center now?
Canceling Big Apple vacations. I'm staying with the guy that owns the show that's trying to kill me for the life insurance money, and they can't get in there. It's like a doorman building. It's really fancy. There's no way the bedbugs can't get in.
Oh, so you're safe?
I can barely get in. It's like Fort Knox.
So you're safe if you have a doorman building?
Yeah, it is really fancy. I don't know if he wants me talking about it or not, but, you know, there's a doorman and, like, a maid there all day. And
jeez. They put little chocolates on your pillow at night?
The maid, she asked me, would you like me to turn the bed down? I was like, no, it's okay.
Does she make the towels in the shapes of animals?
She did my laundry yesterday. I'm not used to this. I was like,
Oh, look, it's a towel rabbit. Oh,
can I stay there if I go to New York?
No, apparently only I can.
Oh,
because you might have bed bugs.
Okay, so I have to stay at the Days Inn. Great.
In Queens.
Yeah.
Eh, lordy. All right. The Juan Williams controversy, I think I've mentioned that I'm bitter because I do this all for free, my media whoring.
Yes, you
I'm
do.
Not sure how you get $2 million unless you're a big right-wing tool like Juan Williams appears to be now. He's still the one, I think.
Juan Williams, formerly of National Public Radio and always of Fox News.
When I get on a plane, I got to say, if I see people who are in Muslim garb, and I think, you know, they're identifying themselves first and foremost as Muslims, I get worried. I get nervous.
You're fired. Disgraceful decision by the National Public Radio outfit. NPR has fired Juan Williams.
One is the loneliest.
Fox News analyst.
That you ever do.
This is good for you.
What?
Yeah, it's good for you. Number one, you're going to get a big book contract. Everybody likes you.
One.
Yeah, stand up here.
I got you back, Williams.
For $2.5 million, I will be scared of every Muslim you show me.
That's unbelievable. I guess I'm getting some courtesy here. Thank you, Chris. As I said,
it's 1 week only.
It's 1 week only.
I got you back, Williams. Trust me on this. We're not letting this go.
Okay, then. Thank you, Mr. Nordahl.
Plus, he's never said, get me some MFing iced tea.
Yeah. That was from
Shano. Knife and fork.
That was from Shano.
That's how you get ahead in the right-wing punditry. Exactly, by not calling Bill O'Reilly a mother effer.
Yes.
Even though he is one.
And,
okay.
And Shano sent that to make up for the fact that he didn't go to your event in
Listen,
Ithaca.
There was all that anybody could talk about in Ithaca. Where is Shano? Where is Shano?
Yes.
Where was Shano?
He hasn't told me yet, but he will.
Interesting. Hmm. Here's the weirdest thing that happened in Ithaca. Because as you know, I'm basically an elderly shut-in loser.
Yes.
After the event, I went home to bed, and Bill Press went to a gay bar.
Bill mentioned that on his show, and I was going to ask if you went to...
He said, what's wrong with this picture? I'm like, I'm tired. I'm going home. And he wanted martinis of some sort.
Well...
Gay martinis, apparently.
Appletinis.
Appletinis.
Those are the gayest martinis ever.
Something. Despite my reputation, I don't actually drink hard liquor, and I go to bed really early. So that was, I don't know, Bill closed down the gay bars in Ithaca.
Was Carl Paladino there?
I'm guessing not. That would not be a valid or successful choice for him.
Well, he owns many.
To have Appletinis, gaytinis with Bill Press.
But he owns many gay bars in the...
in Buffalo.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, he probably shows up there in chaps.
Mm. I guess Gay's money is valid and successful for him.
Yes.
I guess that still works.
Mm-hmm.
He's still not, he's okay spending that?
Yeah, of course.
Hmm. Money's valid, lifestyle's not. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Huh. Okay. Bill in Bellevue, Washington, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Bill.
Hi. Hello.
Hi, go ahead, Bill.
Yes, I just wanted to call and with respect say that Mike, who called in about health care, Mike, you're an idiot. President Obama campaigned on providing as close to universal health care as possible. He said before the election that they would get 96%. They got 96%.
If you were starting from scratch, right.
You would do, if you were starting from scratch, you'd want to do a universal health care, but we're not starting from scratch.
Yeah,
as
we've said, he always ran as a centrist, and that's what I don't get, this unbelievable anger, you know?
It's insane, and he's not getting credit for what he has done. He's the first president in 100 years to significantly add to the health care provision for the American people.
Right. As I said, if Senator Bernie Sanders can say, this is a good start, good bill, this bill, then, you know, who has... Yeah.
It's a start. We're moving down the road. If anyone thought we were going to move from a position where the health care in this country was completely dominated by insurance companies to one where it was a public insurance program completely, they're idiots.
Right. And, Bill, as I've said yesterday, this time it's personal for me. I am personally asking gay people to I understand the anger and the frustration. You have got to get over it. It is too important right now. You could well lose some of your basic rights. If it is more important to you to be in a snit and sit out this election or vote against the Democrat or whatever, it is too important right now. We are too close, not just on health care, but on don't ask, don't tell, on gay marriage, and what have you.
I love you.
I love you.
You're brilliant. I mean, you see the bigger picture. You don't get caught up in these small issues, these small sub-issues within the larger issue. The largest issue.
Well, all of us got to be a bigger person. You know, we all go through that where, you know, any of us haven't been through it in an interpersonal relationship where, you know, you get angry, you get frustrated, and you have to be a bigger person. And we all have to be bigger than that this time. It's too important, right?
I love you. You
I love you too, and I think, and I mean that in a non-gay way, which is really kind of strange.
I do too.
All right.
Wow.
That was. I don't know why.
Are you now turning gay guys straight?
I don't really know. I think I just turned myself straight there.
Don't turn gay guys straight.
Hmm. All right.
However,
what
the Obama administration has lifted the deepwater drilling moratorium, and Ken Salazar is still in charge. And there are no safety measures.
Yes, it would be
required.
Much better if we were to get all Republicans in there. There'd be much more regulation.
No, I'm just saying.
Check the kids. Things.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying, too.
Mom, Dad, stop fighting.
I'm saying, too. We're getting into it.
After the election,
we can fight about saying, you're all like, whatever, and I'm like, whatever, and you're just saying it.
Yeah, well, God told me to say it, so there.
Whatever. Okay.
I heard the literal audible voice of God, and he said, "How's River?" Farfingen.
Farfingen?
He said, Fluffenhurten? He said, Dr. Huffer?
Huffer.
He said,
he's not very articulate.
Huffer.
God's not very articulate, apparently.
Dr. Furrier, it's Huffer.
I think actually what he's saying to Christine O'Donnell is, you have no credibility.
That's what he said, exactly.
Yeah, part of it was
she misunderstood.
She was driving under a bridge or something. You know,
and then he said,
missed the first part.
Hello, Julian.
Very carefully. Put the candle back.
Julie in Seattle, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jules.
Hey, kids, I have a Got Your Enthusiasm Gap Right Here update from Seattle.
Yes.
I was privileged to see our lovely governor, Christine Gregoire, yesterday with Patty Murray and Jill Biden and Michelle Obama and a couple other nice super chicks from the Democratic side speaking at a luncheon over in Seattle. And Michelle Obama had some interesting comments that I think might help some of the people that keep calling to express how upset they are that they didn't get the wagon and the stuffed bunny they were expecting from Obama. And she said that she remembers quite well from the campaign when Obama said that change is going to be slow, it's going to be hard, and I need you to have my back or I can't do it. Now,
many of us feel we did get a unicorn that farts glitter, but it just, you know, it sometimes also it poos. So
nice
we got to be pure glitter.
But the thing is that I think a lot of people, and it's understandable in times when things are so difficult and so fearful, not least of which it would be the teabaggers taking over and wrecking things even worse, that people would project their own fears and anxieties and expectations upon the one figure they think is the dictator that could fix it all, like the president that used to boss everybody around and do his will. But the president is a Democratic leader who follows the rules of the government.
Yep. Yeah. Can I just say, by the way, and you know this, Governor Gregoire, one of my personal favorites.
Oh, man.
And I think tells you that it shows you the real difference between our women and their women. They're sad they have the Meg Whitmans and Carly Fiorinas, Linda McMahons. And I tell you when I spoke up there, Jules, I'm standing in a group with a guy, you know, a union guy. We're talking. She comes up, just starts talking to him. We're talking about, you know, his job and health care. And all of a sudden he gets this look on his face. He goes, "You're the governor." And she's like, "Oh, yeah, hi, I'm Christine." Like, you know, she really is one of us, you know?
And the thing about Christine and Michelle Obama as well that came through yesterday is being in the kind of positions that Christine is in right now, tearing the heck out of a budget every day that she doesn't have any discretion over, but sticking with it, even though people are criticizing everything she does. And the same thing with Michelle Obama. She made the comment yesterday that some people might view this as presumptuous, but I think it's quite a reasonable statement. She said, "I didn't give you my husband for 4 years because there's some sort of personal gain involved in this for me." She said, "Everything that Barack and I do is to try and get the middle class back on a position in this country where families can do what our families did for us." And she said, "We have to compromise, and it isn't always what we want to do, but that's our goal, and that's why we're there."
Well, you know, they often say it, and it's true. It wasn't that long ago for them. They were paying back student loans and whatever. So I think that, you know, that's – thanks, Jules, for calling. But I think that's the way, you know, you can sum up this whole thing. They really do understand the concerns of normal people more than – why do you think Meg Whitman's falling behind?
Right.
People get somebody that out of touch and sort of ruthless and just, you know, this whole housekeeper incident. That's who these people are.
Yep.
People on a human level go, "You're a billionaire and you're not paying her for gas money," mm-hmm. "and you knew she was undocumented and then you tossed her out, someone you called a part of your family." You know, it's...
And in her latest ad, she admits that she's not a strong choice.
Yeah,
you have to hear
that.
We're going to play that, I guess, when we come back. Yeah.
We'll play it when we come back. But it's hilarious. I sense that I suck, but listen... I suck less than the other guy. All right, 19 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
You want to get nuts? Come on! Let's get nuts.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, live from New York City this week, 25 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Senator Mark Begich of the great state of Alaska checks in with us in just a few minutes. That race is just getting better.
The race for the other
better.
Senate seat, yeah.
What's that?
The race for the other Senate seat.
That is the most entertaining three-way since, you know, the McGreevies here in Jersey.
Hmm?
What? you know, the Governor McGreevy and the TGI Fridays. Okay, 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the...
Was that really at a TGI Fridays?
Or were where they went for foreplay, which, who doesn't?
Yeah, curly fries get me so hot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 10,000 calories will just get your libido revving.
Yes. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. Okay, so we were talking about, because you know what I was thinking when I was in California is, I wish there were more Meg Whitman ads because.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that's why I had to leave. I wanted to risk the bed bugs rather than have to watch one more friggin' Meg Whitman ad. You just picture her screaming and shoving people, and damn it, I've spent just about 2 days. This is sort of the Hail Mary. She sort of admits that she's a sucky choice.
Yeah.
But, you know, so is she, so is he, is what I guess she's saying.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I know many of you see this election as an unhappy choice between a longtime politician with no plan for the future and a billionaire with no government experience.
Yes.
Now I'm running for governor to restore the California dream for everyone.
Uh-huh. Mm. Yeah, yeah, she talked about that California dream, how everything was so great 30 years ago.
Yeah, when she moved here 30 years ago.
That's why we came to California. Guess who was governor?
Jerry Brown! When she moved here!
And he created millions of jobs! Yes,
when it was such a great business-friendly atmosphere,
yes,
that you might want to put your, company like eBay here.
God.
That is hilarious.
They really didn't think this through.
Well, that'll get her back in touch with the normal people, admitting that she's a billionaire with no experience.
Yeah.
Is that breath of fresh honesty supposed to be something at the last minute that makes us go, hey, she knows she's completely unqualified and out of touch with everybody else.
Although,
let's vote for her.
Although in that ad, she did bring her bangs down a little bit to cover the high forehead.
The Stephanie Miller Show are helpers.
Yes.
Some might think we're kidders, but we're helpers.
And you don't see her gums once.
The bangs cover up that Frankenstein scar on her forehead, you know. The bolts are still there.
Listen, don't make me bring it up again. The Stephanie Miller Show apologizes for suggesting what we
didn't.
I know,
that's very crass.
Someone on the live blog suggested that, you could show IMAX movies on her giant forehead, for which her little chiclet teeth and her giant gums are kind of the subtitles.
Right.
Well, and we apologize for that and for having repeated it.
So wrong.
Although, in this new ad, she could use a little Clearasil face scrub or something.
However, we're helpers.
We're helpers.
She fixed her hair.
Well, she's a helper, too. She's helping Jerry Brown a lot.
Yeah.
Here is Meg Whitman again. Meg Whitman on the campaign.
Elections are won by people filling out their absentee ballots for you and getting to the polls. So we understand this is absolutely essential.
Mm-hmm. Particularly if you're 13 points behind.
No.
Former and future Governor Jerry Brown.
We have campaign offices in every county. There's going to be a real campaign both to get out the voters and to get absentee ballots sent in early.
Mm-hmm. Wow. He does have the exact same voice as Joe Biden, doesn't he?
He's got that same rasp. So he's got a bit of I don't know where that accent came from, because...
It's the California version.
It's like it's like a Philadelphia accent.
Yeah, it is.
Or something.
It does sound kind of like
Philly.
That was the California version of "You bitches get it together." Saying, get out to the polls. All right, bitches. 29 minutes after the hour, Senator Mark Begich next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
You represent Earth's best, then.
Sure. That's what we got for now.
Sure.
34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Marcos Melitzos. Did I say that right?
Melitzos.
Kos, for God's sakes, is the founder of Daily Kos, joins us next hour to talk all things midterms. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. Oh, first time. This is very exciting. Senator Mark Begich of the great state of Alaska joins us. Good morning, Senator.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Good. So nice to talk to you.
Well, thank you very much. Thanks for the time to be able to talk a little bit of politics and activity before next week.
Well, you know, Senator, as you know, all eyes are on Alaska. Certainly, this is a very unusual race you got going on there for the other Senate seat, correct?
Absolutely. We have, as you know, three candidates running. There's the Republican nominee, Joe Miller. Then there's the write-in candidate who lost in the Republican primary, which was Lisa Murkowski. And then a Democrat, Scott McAdams, who really has done unbelievable work over the last 45, 50 days, or 60 days actually now, that he has really come out of nowhere and has done an incredible job. And now it's a pretty tight race all the way around, which is exciting from being a Democrat from Alaska and seeing that we have a chance potentially to pick up another seat. It's going to be a tough and tight race, but it's very exciting right now. And we have always...
If we could have two Democratic senators from the state of Alaska, that would cause Sarah Palin to become even more unhinged than she already is. And
she'll have to move.
Yes.
No one would be more excited than me.
More than you can imagine, me too.
Yes.
So there's an opportunity we're looking for here. So there's an underlying issue there. We would encourage your listeners to help Scott because we'd move her out of Alaska, move Sarah up. But the problem is she'd end up in someone else's state.
Nobody else wants her.
Right.
Senator, just to give us a sense, what are the latest polls? I mean, what how close are we talking?
There's several different polls out there, and they range anywhere from Scott in the range of around 26 or 28%, and the Miller around 30 or 31, and then basically Lisa anywhere from 28 to 32, depending. And then you got to discount out off of her because you're going to have write-in problems. You know, that's a write-in. They don't discount out for that. So basically, everyone is in the margin and neck. And what I love about the race is Scott has raised well over $1 million in 45, 50 days, thousands of donors that have come to his website, scottmcadams.org. And I would, you know, people wrote him off literally the day after the election, the primary, and he's just come back with a storm. I was just looking at the leading newspaper, Anchorage Daily News, today, and I was reading the letters to the editor, because you always, you know, no one ever writes good things in the letters to the editor, but he was running 6-1 letters against the other guys, which is unbelievable. And it's people who are saying, you know, the other guys like to say he's a nice guy, but can he win? And the fact is he can. And the other, and I'm biased, I'm a former mayor that made it to the U.S. Senate. Scott McAdams is a mayor. And to be very
Sitka,
frank with
former
you,
school board member and Sitka mayor, right?
That's right. And school board association president for the whole state of Alaska. So my view is a guy like that who understands real issues is what we desperately, desperately need in the U.S. Senate these days, especially in the Democrats.
Sounds like... You're exactly right that he's, you know, had to prove he's not a token candidate, and he's certainly not at this point. I mean,
absolutely.
You know, I just love that you're that Sarah Palin quits as governor of Alaska, but then gets her nose all up in this race.
That's right.
And I mean, it literally, I've said this from day one, Senator, that this really could, you know, be the exploding comedy Tea Party cigar in Alaska.
Right. I mean, if you think about it, I mean, Joe Miller was her hand-picked candidate, and it's really kind of a grudge match because, you know, Sarah Palin beat Lisa Murkowski's father in the Republican primary for governor. Now here, Lisa Murkowski got beat by Sarah Palin's hand-picked person, and here's a Democrat that all he has to get, this is the most amazing part, I wish I would have these numbers when I was running 2 years ago, all he has to get is around 32-33% of the vote, and he wins.
Right.
I mean, for all the news that you hear around the country with Democrats, there's a huge excitement, enthusiasm. I mean, I checked in yesterday at over 50 callers calling from his office, which I don't know how they fit him in, to be frank with you, in that office he has. But they have 50 people making calls to thousands of Alaskans. So there's a high level of excitement that, you know, this whole enthusiasm gap stuff people talk about, it doesn't exist in Alaska.
And may I just say, Senator, I mean, when you talk about the Palin factor, I mean, it does seem very personal to me with her, and as I have often commented about her, nasty. I mean, I found her to be, very personal and very nasty, you know, starting in the, you know, presidential races, saying the president pals around with terrorists, and, you know, it is interesting. It just, you know, we call it the Alaskan chick fight because she and Lisa Murkowski, I mean,
you hit it right on the head, and what's amazing is, first, with the data now coming out of Alaska, is Sarah Palin has about a 55% negative rating.
That's amazing. That's great.
We don't like her anymore in Alaska.
The president is more popular in Alaska than Sarah Palin,
which
I found hilarious.
When you think about about in a red state as deep as we are. And I'm just, what I look at is I think about what she's trying to do, again, manipulate Alaska politics for her own personal gain. Here we have a great mayor. You know, I know she was a mayor. She should know what good quality mayor is, but maybe not. but, you know, I look at the guy, Scott McAdams, and here's someone who's working double time. And what a great thing. I think people across the country are seeing it by, when you go on to Act Blue and you see his name and how much he's done from individuals who are giving $1, $2, $5. Part of it is they see something exciting about Scott. Then there's other people who have kind of a dual purpose. They like and they think Scott's a great candidate. But also it's kind of like, let's get Sarah Palin in her own territory. I'm
well,
okay with that.
Yeah, but I mean, let's look at Joe Miller, who is certainly problematic as a candidate. I mean, first of all, he revealed to be an incredible hypocrite. He says he's a fiscal conservative. You know, he and his members, his family receive Medicaid, unemployment, and farm subsidies. I mean, this security detail, who, you know, which has ties to militant, you know, to militia groups, you know, handcuffs and detains a journalist for asking a question. And now, of course, the latest thing is his personnel file is going to be released, which apparently his employment has been problematic.
Exactly. And then if you look at just the issues, you know, between Lisa Murkowski and Joe Miller, and I'm just going to list off four or five quick ones, really. Social Security, they both are for privatization. Medicare, giving it to the insurance companies, they're both for that. When you think about shipping jobs overseas, both Lisa and Joe are for that. When you look at, for example, the two Supreme Court nominees that were just selected and appointed to the Supreme Court, Lisa voted no on both of those. Joe Miller said he would not support those. I mean, in reality, they're both the same. And when people, and I know in Alaska, I'll be very frank with you, there are some, and it just shocks me, some moderate and some progressive Democrats that are saying, well, maybe we need to vote for Lisa in order to stop Joe Miller. And I tell them all the time, I said, my gosh, don't overthink this and don't be a, you know, try to be a strategist in a sense. Vote your conscience, vote what's right, and don't vote against your own interest here. Vote for a Democrat who this time, 32-33%, wins the race.
Wow.
This is an unbelievable thing. Think about all across the country. If we could win Democrats with just those numbers, we'd be really happy today, wouldn't we?
Right. Yeah, exactly. You know? Well, you know, one Alaska pollster said, you know, it's all about timing. The question is, on Election Day, where will that movement be? And you're saying the same thing we're hearing all over the country, Senator, that you, if there's an enthusiasm gap with Democrats, you don't see it there.
That's right. There is no enthusiasm gap in Alaska, and you hit it just on the nose there, and that is the timing right? We got 1 week before the election. The trend lines are right. Can we make sure we cross that line at the right moment? And it is incumbent upon, and I can see what Lisa Murkowski is doing. I see the mailer she's doing. She's highly focused on progressive women, trying to portray herself as, you know, pro-choice. She gets a 25% rating from NARAL, just to give you, I mean, she's on the bottom quartile. You know, when you think about it, I get 100%. Scott McAdams gets 100% from NARAL. She likes to portray and give kind of this vision that doesn't exist. And I think people are starting to see that now. Scott's really pointed it out. She's voted against Alaska's projects that are desperately needed for our rural communities. I mean, I go through the shopping list, and I think people are now saying, wait a second, maybe the Lisa we saw wasn't the Lisa or heard about isn't the Lisa that really is. And then they see Joe Miller and they say, well, what's the difference? They have definitely different personalities, but the voting record of Lisa and what Joe Miller will do are the same. So why take the risk? Why not vote for someone who actually believes in the things that we all believe in?
Well, I'm sorry, but today's Republican Party Senator, it's like she's the least scary clown in the clown car, I guess is what they're... but the point is, she's still a clown in the clown car.
With the
obstructionist clown car.
Yeah, exactly. And they said, and she made the comment that, oh, I'm going to be voting, I'll be organized with Republicans. Well, that tells you something, doesn't it? They're going to do the same old routine, and we can't get this country moving forward without having people focus on the right direction. And again, with Scott.
Well, and you're right. Her party has, I mean, you look at these Tea Party candidates, I mean, her party has been driven too far to the lunatic right fringe.
Oh.
You know, I mean, there's nothing she's going to be able to do as a Republican except continue the same obstructionism that we've seen before.
That's right. And why not get someone who, and again, as you can see, I'm a believer in Scott. I mean, I'm, again, as I said, I'm biased. I love mayors because they're practical. They look at issues. They have to face the constituency every day. He will come with an experience, and I think two things that add to it? Besides being all this political experience he has, community experience, he's a commercial fisherman. And I'm tell you, if you have survived the commercial fishing in Alaska, worked a deckhand in the Bering Straits, I'm going to tell Bering Sea, you can survive Washington, D.C. And he's a football coach and a linebacker. And I'm going to tell you something, that's the kind of stuff you want sitting down there when people are muscling you, that he can just stand up. And by the time he stands up, they'll leave the room.
Well, and we should differentiate. Sarah Palin was a bad mayor who left Wasilla in debt. He was a good mayor.
He's a good mayor, balanced his budget, had to make tough decisions, has not left it in debt, and grew the economy. And actually, Sitka, the city he's from, is a beautiful community.
It is.
Incredible. I mean, it's and has a strong economy versus what she did, left her community in debt and left it in a mess, just like she left the state. So I'm biased. I encourage people to, whatever they can do to help him with a few $5 or whatever they can do, scottmcadams.org. He is the real deal. That's right.
Exactly. Hey, Alaska, vote against Sarah Palin again. And I wanted to ask you real quick before you go. I mean, one of the things I hope doesn't happen, I hope people, you know, really get out for Scott McAdams make this clear cut, because I know the experts up there are saying don't count on the quick resolution. If it turns out to be as tight as polling suggests, write in and absentee ballots could come into play. It could put off a final tally for weeks. Here we go again, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you remember my election 2 years ago, I lost election night, and then a week later, all the absentees rolled in. And of course, took a 3,300-point deficit up to a 3,700-vote win. But, I mean, it's painful when you go through that. What I tell people now, we got early voting going on. Democrats who are not, as you know, sometimes they get lazy. I'm one of those. I vote early. I get it out of the way.
Right.
So then I go help other people and tell them, spend time on the phone, help recruit them to get out and vote. What I tell people right now in Alaska, go vote now and then go down to the headquarters and get on the phones and get other people to vote. Get your vote out of the way so it's in the bank, and then go do what you need to do to get people out, because we have
Senator,
a lot
I'm hearing that from people all over the country. They're saying people really hate these negative ads, and they really appreciate either the on the phone or face to face conversation about issues.
They want to know from their neighbor. They want to hear, tell me why. In Alaska, with such a small population, here's what's amazing. Our total voter turnout, we believe, in raw numbers, will be about 305 to 310,000 votes. So all we need to do, Scott needs to do, is get about 103,000, 102,000. He wins the race. Now, you think about that in other states across the country. That's like a house race. You know, this is like a dream.
Right, and anything you can do, like you say, if you get on the phones, if you go to scottmcadams.org, you don't have to leash up the whole dog sled team and go door to door, for God's sakes.
Just do a little bit here and there. I mean, make the phone calls. And the one thing I tell people during my election, I think, and Scott's people are doing it now, is find five people. Get your vote out of the way. Find five people, not your regular guys that vote all the time. Find five people who have similar political views of you that don't vote that often, and get them to the polls. Not the guys that are the easy votes. Get the next layer, because that's how you win these races. And I'm an enthusiast about what he can do. I just look at him, and I watch him, and he speaks, and he is the real deal. And after being here 2 years in the Senate, the more of that, the Democrats will be better off, to be very frank with you. And I'm not, I love my Democrats, but I'm also a critic of them, that we need more people who got the real deal, who are not afraid to stand up for their positions and get out there, even when sometimes the pollsters say, don't do that, but do the right thing for the people of, your state and your country. He's it.
That's right. We mean more Democrats like Scott McAdams that can block and tackle. And I mean that literally and figuratively. Senator Mark Baggage of the great state of Alaska, thanks so much for giving us a bird's eye view of that important race.
Keep plugging, you guys.
You got it.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Senator. There he goes.
Yay.
He's awesome. We've never had him on before.
No, we haven't.
Sitka is in a very nice little town.
And we have links to Scott McAdams where you can donate up at your Facebook page and up on your Twitter feed.
Cool.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. We look forward to playing that extra screechy Sarah Palin soundbite from the day after he wins.
Oh, God. Can you imagine?
Oh,
I can't even do it.
No,
all right, 49 minutes after the hour. Right back with Right Wing World on the Stephanie Miller Show. Now.
So, who is responsible for these outrages?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. I'm here. What?
What?
54 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-1-2.
I thought your head had been stepped on by a Rand Paul supporter.
Yeah, did you see that, Stephanie?
What? What have I missed, for God's sakes? I've been out drinking. What happened? What happened?
At a Rand Paul rally yesterday, a Rand Paul opponent got her head stepped on by a supporter.
Yeah.
Stomped on.
And it's on camera.
Yeah.
But how did she get knocked down in the first place? How do you step on someone's head?
She was knocked down.
They wrestled her to the ground and stepped on her head
after
she tried to confront Rand Paul.
Oh.
Just before a debate between Paul and
Wow, he must not have that professional militia like Joe Miller. They must just be amateur doofuses.
Yeah.
They must be the like Orange Julius cops, like mall cop or something.
Well, yeah, well, see a picture of one of the doofuses. He looks like one of those guys.
But they're really going galt over there in Rand Paul's arena.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is it me, or if you notice something in common with a lot of the Republican candidates, Joe Miller, Rand Paul, they're kind of jerks, aren't they?
Shut up! Really, I'll kick you in the head!
They're really just jerks.
Yeah, they're a-holes.
Well, I don't have my bleep button, but they are either, you know, weeds or
sticks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Take your choice.
Yeah,
or both.
They could be both.
Mm-hmm. By the way, Chris, could you take your organ out for me? This Christine O'Donnell story, Jim, which we love. Christine O'Donnell, of course, running because of God.
Oh. You didn't need a funeral organ. You needed a church
yes.
organ. Okay.
That's premature.
she said, I always ask, please pray for the campaign. Yeah, it
Because I'm you. I'm an idiot.
Please pray specifically that the eyes of the voters be opened. That's what the problem is there.
Really, you know, select the
candidates. They just don't realize. They're just dopes in Delaware.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's why she's losing.
Yeah.
Yes, because I think the voters, I think God listened to her and did open the voters' eyes in Delaware, and that's why she's behind by 40 points? Where are we? 38 points at latest something?
Something like that.
Oh, dear. Okay. Let's go to Rob in Arkansas. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Rob.
Hey, Steph. Good morning. I'm enjoying the show.
Thank you.
I had a question about the nationalized health care. I've got some concerns about it.
Okay. What are your concerns?
Wouldn't it be better to be handled on a state level? I'm looking at the
Well, it's not nationalized, first of all.
Well, I mean, but it will be, won't it?
No.
It's still being run through the insurance companies, except that they now have regulations where they can't discriminate against people who have pre-existing conditions, for example.
Yeah, this is not privatized in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah. You know what, guys? I didn't really even have the energy, because he didn't really seem to have the energy behind his talking points. That was really kind of a dispirited freeper that I didn't...
I kind of felt sorry for him.
What do you think about the nationalized communist health care?
Obamacare. I know when they start out calling it...
You know what? He wasn't even a fun enough cat toy to play with.
No. And where's the birth certificate? And
you know, it's
also,
like those toys that you're... You know, I have a bunch of toys for my dogs, and some of them are just like, eh. And that's kind of like that caller.
He's a commie atheist, Nazi Muslim atheist.
Where's the birth certificate?
You know what, Chris? In fact, I sensed an enthusiasm gap. With
I did too.
Exactly.
Between his ears.
They seem to have lost enthusiasm for their own talking points.
As soon as they say the word Obamacare, I know they're not serious.
Mm-hmm. I was just wondering, you know, I'm an independent. I listen to both sides. I'm not either one. I'm just saying, what do you think of George Bush? Yeah. But
get it together, bitches. But if you're going to call me, at least have some energy behind
what
ridiculous
about
talking points.
What about the death panels?
I just stumbled across your show, and I'm an independent. Wow,
if you're not excited about it,
points.
I can't be expected to get excited. Catherine in Tucson, real quick, on Christine O'Donnell. Hi, Catherine.
Hey, I don't know a whole lot about the Bible, but I don't know where the chapter and verse is that says that God wants you to elect uninformed whack-a-moles to the Senate.
She's a whack-a-mole.
And God, you don't read it right then. Whatever. She's all like, what? And I'm like, what? All right, 58 minutes after the hour, back with Mark Dos Melitzis of Daily Kos on the Stephanie Miller Show.
gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yes, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, live from New York City this week. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere, stephaniemiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lemoy, voice deity Jim Warder, me, Stephanie Miller. Mama in town doing fancy stuff. It doesn't get fancier than today when I walked through Times Square and saw a woman walking naked carrying her pants.
That is
fancy. Not naked. She was wearing a coat.
Oh, well.
Because I'm sure to take the chill off.
I think things have changed since I lived here. I think it is pants optional in Times Square, apparently.
Wow.
It's very pleasant here, very
mild. So Bloomberg is rolling back all of those things that Giuliani passed, huh?
Funny, you should mention that.
He's dirtying up Times Square again.
1 degree of Stephanie Miller separation. I will be seeing Mayor Bloomberg Thursday night at the Foundation for Equal Rights, where there's a big fancy do that I'm going to.
Wow.
Yes. And Ted Olson will be speaking, and it's a whole thing. Because I'm a professional gay. All right.
Are you taking a date?
Yeah, indeed, I am. The guy that owns the show that's trying to kill me for the life insurance money.
But he's married.
So? Oh, she's busy.
Tongues are wagging.
All right. All right. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. What else? Oh, and then T.J. Martell Foundation tomorrow night to benefit breast cancer.
That's right.
So, yes, lots of fancy stuff. I will be wearing pants to everything, as far as I know.
Right, unless they pass a law.
I do. I miss the movies in Times Square. I miss The Little Sperm Maid. I miss Pocahontas. There were better movies here.
Well, now you have bed bugs in the theaters in Times Square.
Exactly. That's the dirtiest things they have now in theaters.
Yeah, right.
Here. That's the fun in that. All right. Nobody has their finger on the pulse of what's happening, and we are 1 week away today from the midterm elections. And Marcos Belitsas, the founder and, of course, publisher of Daily Kos, and author of the fabulous new book, fabulous and controversial, American Taliban, How War, Sex, Sin, and Power Blind Jihadists for the Radical Right. Hello, Marcos.
Yes.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Stephanie.
How are you?
Good.
So listen, this is, I have to say, a pretty wacky, entertaining midterm, if nothing else thus far. I don't know if you heard the latest, it's come to fisticuffs. Someone stepped on a Rand Paul, somebody's head in the audience of a Rand Paul. I guess she was not a supporter.
No. Yeah, they're hitting girls now. This is what the Tea Party's left to. They're hitting girls.
Yeah. That's how you know things have really gotten ugly.
Yeah. I mean, they're really macho, right? These guys are so manly and tough, and so they got to prove that by beating up on move-on supporters and ganging up on one helpless woman. I mean, this is I don't know if that's entertainment, though, Stephanie.
Yeah,
the things that are entertaining, that one's a little bit too disturbing to be entertained by it.
Well, I mean, you know, it's interesting, though. People talk about in your, you talk about in your book that that's why it's called American Taliban, because, look, a lot on the right, espouse the very things that they say they hate.
Yeah, one of the arguments I get about American Taliban, this new book of mine, is that American conservatives, they don't throw stones at women. Well, now they hold them down and stomp them in the head. So, it's a matter of degree, I guess. I don't know what the degree is. They're both beating up on women for believing things that they don't believe by violating their rigid ideology. I mean, it's disgusting.
Well, I got to say, we've talked about this in a few different races, because it is very, it is absolutely an issue in many of the races, particularly like California, the Boxer Fiorina, race, in terms of pro-choice. There's a lot of ways to be, to be anti-woman, and a lot of the candidates that believe in, no abortion, even in cases of rape or incest, are setting back women's rights considerably.
Yeah, I think in a lot of ways they're setting back conservative efforts. Republicans were really good for years, for decades actually, in using dog whistle politics to get their message across, right? Using code words like Social Security privatization, which suddenly became Social Security personalization, right? What they really want is to destroy Social Security, but they didn't want to say that because most people actually like Social Security. Yeah. Now you have a crop of candidates that are sick and tired of being talked to in dog whistle. They're coming out. They're, first of all, they're getting rid of the establishment candidates in places like Kentucky and Delaware and Nevada and Colorado. And they're coming out and they're basically saying things like, Social Security is a Ponzi scheme. We want to destroy it. And no, we're not going to pretend that we approve of abortion in times of rape and incest. We're going to oppose it all the time. We're going to oppose Social Security all the time. We want to eliminate. We think every government agency, we think that the Civil Rights Act is unconstitutional and so on and so forth. And I think people like Karl Rove are bashing their heads in, right, because they should have put the Senate in play this year, given this climate. I mean, it's really bleak for Democrats right now.
They've released the Kraken.
But they got these people who, instead of talking in code, are basically saying exactly
right.
what they believe.
Right.
And that's
which is
starting the game.
I believe that's private institutions should have the right to stomp on a woman's head, as long
particularly
as
if you're black.
Rights.
Yeah, you know, I mean, Margo's that, but that's the thing. It's like, how many calls do you think George Bush got and said, "No, you idiot, don't not before the election. Don't say you wish you privatized Social Security."
No,
you
know, exactly. I mean, this is the stuff that's supposed to be quietly said. I mean, they all speak in code. They don't want to tip off the American people about what they really want, and they're going to get lucky because this climate is so toxic for Republicans that a bunch of these people are actually going to end up winning. Now the question is, once they win, they're not going to shut up. They're not going to go underground, right? They're going to keep pushing this stuff. So I think long term, this is going to be a silver lining in what should be a very bleak Tuesday next week, is the fact that they're no longer going to be able to hoodwink the American people by talking in code. They're actually saying things. They're being very explicit about what they seek, what they want out of America, and I think that's grossly out of step with what the American people want. I mean, right now the American people are hurting. They're confused. They're angry because the Democrats didn't deliver on promises. Nobody has jobs. The unemployment rate's a disaster. So it's really tough environment for Democrats, but I don't think Republicans are exactly the answer. Polls say that the American people don't like Republicans. They're just sort of the beneficiaries of this anger.
Well, but Marcos, you know, I'm hearing, you know, literally in race after race and from people around the country that you know, I don't know if this is overblown, this whole enthusiasm gap story, because I think you're right. The more people are waking up in place after place and really looking at these Tea Party candidates, I mean, listen to this exchange. I want to get your take, because again, the Tea Party, I mean, a lot of us, you and I think, of course, the Tea Party has just gotten way too much press, and it's gotten way too much like, oh, it's this massive force in, you know, American politics, and not as what it is. It's just a lunatic right fringe of the Republican Party. This is Pat Toomey, the Republican candidate in Pennsylvania, and a CNN reporter.
Isn't it true that you're also a favorite of the Tea Party movement? They like you.
I am delighted to have the support I have across a very, very wide range of folks. There are Tea Party people who believe in limited government and fiscal discipline, and they're supporting my campaign.
Would you be a Tea Party senator if you didn't?
Last question.
I'm delighted to have their support.
I mean,
he's trying to distance himself.
Yeah, the moonwalking away from the Tea Party already, because, you know, there's a bunch of crazies they've nominated.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what? Actually, Pat Toomey is particularly been hurt by the Tea Party crowd. I don't know if you guys realize that, some of your listeners may not, but Delaware, Christine O'Donnell's home base, their main media market is Philadelphia.
That's right.
So the more attention that Christine O'Donnell gets, because they're covering Christine O'Donnell in Delaware, the more Toomey's numbers have fallen in Pennsylvania.
Yep. Wow.
It's the reason that Joe Sestak is actually suddenly really competitive once again. The race is tied. When Pat Toomey had big leads. So it's clearly hurting him, which is why he's got to do that kind of dance.
Right.
But I don't think we
but
have
see,
to
wait. But the, Marcos.
Yeah.
Sorry, what I was going to say, though, you know, again, wasn't that another media storyline that has turned out to be wrong as far as we know? Remember back in the whole Specter thing, they're like, oh, Joe Sestak can't possibly win in the, you know, the general. That's why you've got to have, you know, Specter, yada, yada, yada. And here we are. And yeah. Joe Sestak is ahead. And I've been saying this from, I think the point I'm trying to make is I'm always right. The primary point. But
I think it's got to be clear that I think there is a enthusiasm gap. But we were seeing it in early numbers where it's not as bad as it could have been, and it's not as bad as it seemed a couple of months ago.
Right.
But there's still a gap. I mean, and we're talking 2 to 3 points. We're still, you know, we won a lot of these races in 2006 and 2008 by slivers, right, by 1,000 votes here, 100 votes there. We look at Al Franken. if we lose 2-3% of our vote because it's not turning out, we're going to lose these races. And I think people need to understand how precarious our situation is and make sure they do everything they can to get out their vote, their friends and their family and anybody who they can get to vote, because there's a competitive race everywhere in the country this year. Everything is contested. Even safe Democratic seats are suddenly a little less safe. So we can't be complacent. We can't say, well, there's no intensity gap. Let's make sure we make that storyline false on election day. Not today.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, absolutely. Yeah, we all know the particular pundit's face you want to see the look on when this whole storyline implodes on election night. I mean, you know, I've said it, Marcos, in relation to, and you're right, a lot of these races so close, got to get out. I mean, I've talked about, you know, specifically with gay people and a lot of those stories, you know, that, oh, they're going to stay home, they're going to vote for Republicans. It's like, you know what, don't wake up the day after election day and realize not only can you not get married or serve in the military, guess what, you can't teach anymore now either. I mean, you know, and God knows what. And so I think, and like I say, even Paul Krugman, I don't know if you saw that article, but obviously you and I and a lot of us know a lot of people in the quote-unquote progressive base, in the professional left, quote-unquote, and even they are saying, we cannot go back. It will be a disaster. We have to go forward.
Well, you know, we're angry and dispirited, I think, for a lot of really good reasons. It's going to be a lot worse if the Republicans take control.
Right.
I mean, Speaker Boehner should send a chill up the spine of any progressive.
Just those two words. Yeah.
Because it's not, you know, as angry as we were at Democrats, I mean, it's nothing compared to what's going to happen when Republicans are in charge.
Well, you know, Marcos, we talked to his opponent this morning, who, and you know, for the first time pretty much in his 20-year history, Boehner's having to spend money and having to campaign because this guy's actually running a good campaign. So, you know, tell me where the enthusiasm gap is. You know what I mean? It's like he's brushing, you know, measuring his speaker curtains. And meanwhile, this guy's giving him a race in Ohio.
Yeah, and I think a lot of that has also helped. I mean, the folks, you know, the folks at Blue America, right, the Howie Klein at Down with Tyranny and Digby, and that John Amato at Kristen Lyer, they've been running ads and billboards in Boehner's district now for several months. And just having people get engaged in some of these races that are supposed to be sort of safe districts suddenly makes, you know, races competitive. I mean, we have Republicans that are endangered in several really surprising places.
Yep.
Because
and if you can make John Boehner white-faced in fear, that's really a feat, because it's hard to get through that many layers of Tanner.
Sometimes, you know, a lot of people are, you know, they're safe because they haven't been challenged, and
right.
It's sort of, you know, we had this Howard Dean 50-state strategy, right, which the current DNC has gotten away from, unfortunately. But when we were challenging these Democrats in every single district, we were starting to win some of these races because they, you know, some of these Republicans were caught unaware, so they were used to being challenged, or they actually were not that popular in their home districts. And suddenly, unfortunately, we got away from that. We're playing a lot of defense this year, and that may be part of it. But there's a lot of races that we found are competitive, you know, just in our polling, in places that I never would have thought they were competitive, just because the conventional wisdom says this guy is safe. We went there and asked anyway, and suddenly you find out, holy crap, this is a real race, and we shouldn't be assuming that these districts are hostile to Democrats, and we should actually try to contest more and more of them, because that's how we're going to keep expanding our majority. And even if we lose our majority next Tuesday, which I think is still within the realm of possibility, 2012, we're going to get a lot of those seats back. I mean, it's, a lot of it's going to be a function of the climate. And in fact, is we had an 80-seat majority right now, right? Republicans in their best year, best opportunities they ever have, are at best going to have a 10-seat majority. Right?
Yep.
This is the best the Republicans will ever do in the best climate, in the most hostile environment for Democrats. They're going to get about a 10-seat majority. So we'll get that back. Worst case scenario, we'll get that back in 2012. But, you know, like I said, let's make sure we don't do that now, because there's so many pundits that are so invested in the notion that the Republicans are going to win. They've been saying so for the last 2 years, basically.
Right. So, I mean, even, like I say, Krugman writes, I mean, the only chance we actually have of turning the economy around is, you know what I mean, is if there is not this Republican tsunami, because then we're going right backwards. So I think you're right. I mean, if we can, you know, start to strengthen the stuff that we've already accomplished, you know, I think we're looking good in 2012. So, Marcos, always a pleasure. The book is American Taliban. The website, of course, Daily Post. Thank you so much.
Pleasure. Anytime.
All right. Well, I will take you up on that. Thank you, Marcos.
Yay!
people have said that too loosely around me.
Well,
all right. How's tomorrow?
John Biter will be so angry he'll go from burnt umber to a light tangerine.
I got an email from someone saying we need to kick Sarah Palin in the enthusiasm gap.
Hi, Slavin. Hi,
you betcha. Not the
also, too, in addition. Uh-huh. Okay, 20 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
My opinion is you're nuts.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Yeah, I got your friggin' enthusiasm gap ready. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. New York version this week. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Yes, breaking news from the latest Politico Battleground poll. A generic congressional ballot unchanged from late September, with Republicans lacking the momentum they had hoped to generate.
Generate?
I don't know. The wacking momentum. Like that.
They're wacking momentum.
They're wacking momentum. We are scared.
That's really, really scary.
That they had hoped to generate over the course of the past month. Despite the advantages of a highly engaged base, a changed-oriented electorate, and a public image that is moderately net positive, these are all advantages, you know, Democrats can't claim. And yet, you know, again, I say overblown media storyline, this whole, you know, Republican tsunami, enthusiasm gap, yada, yada. Mm-hmm. By the way, Representative Joe Sestak, Jim, once again, have I been right about pretty much every storyline? You remember early on?
I blame that on your military experience.
I do,
thank
too.
Thank you. Yes. Thank you. Exactly. It's that rigid, always have to be right sort of thing, that authoritarian thing that I learned in the Army. What? No, but you remember black folks used to call the show back early before the, you know, in the primaries. Like, oh, you're just a silly, naive white girl. This country is never going to elect a black man. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Every storyline.
Huh?
The primaries, yep. then the, you know, the general election. And you remember this? This is why we have to put, you know, Arlen Specter in, because Joe Sestak can never win.
Blah, blah,
blah. Blah, blah. And he's up by, I'm not sure how many, but, you know, it's tight, but he's mm-hmm. up by a few. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a race, Joe Sestak.
I'm smack dab in the middle of my party. In the middle, in the last 3 years. Now, Congressman Toomey has voted 1,400 times with Nancy Pelosi.
No.
That's 1,200 times more than I did.
So you're saying he's more like Nancy Pelosi than you are?
He's such a San Francisco liberal.
That's great.
He's running a great campaign.
He really is.
And in the meantime, he's got he's running away from the teabag question. So it's like, you know.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, it's like I was saying, what's happened to Meg Whitman out in California, right? Mm-hmm. You know, the tough on immigration people didn't like this story because they knew that she was full of it, that she knew that she was employing an undocumented immigrant. And the people that are compassionate and want comprehensive immigration reform on the other side understand that this sucks.
That's right.
That you have someone be part of your family for 10 years and then throw them to the curb when you could help them, you know, and try to get immigration status. All right, Rand Paul, fresh from foot stomping someone.
While I remain disappointed that my opponent continues these personal attacks, I do respect the voters of Kentucky, and I've made the decision to go through with the debate.
Oh, aren't you a
big
man?
Wow, what a hero.
Well, it's not as personal attack as stepping on someone's head, for instance.
Yeah.
Sure.
That's a personal attack.
29 minutes after the hour, Right Wing World is next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
No, no, no. You're too young to be a witch. Savor the steps leading up to it. College anorexic, career disappointments, failed pottery shop. And then, when you're old and alone, you can hit the witch thing hard.
I am Stephanie Miller, and I am a witch.
Mm.
And a bitch. I'm a good witch and a bad witch and a bitch.
I think the pottery class is about the only thing that's not true in that whole...
Yeah, I really think so. Wow.
34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1 to the phone number. Grace in Anchorage, Alaska. We're with that races cooking up there. Hi, Grace.
Hey, Steph and the Mooks. I hope I can be anointed the official silver-haired Alaskan subversive of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Cool. We needed one of those.
Mm-hmm. Hey, when are you guys going to come up here? I guess Rachel's going to be here today.
Wow.
And
wow.
But Tom has been up here, and we'll come in the summertime. That's the time to come. We'll take you fishing, I swear.
Listen, I've been up to Glacier Bay. It's gorgeous, gorgeous.
Not far north enough, my dears. Far north enough. But, hey, anyways, I wanted to reiterate my good Senator Mark Begich's message. You know, Scott McAdams, is his average donor level is $250. You know, it's all under $250. And nothing says retail therapy to me, Americans, men and women, than bugging the heck out of Sarah Palin, than getting Scott McAdams elected in her own backyard. I predict her head may pop off if you guys help us elect Scott McAdams.
Yes. Exactly.
Just that
alone.
It's just a fantasy that I can envision, and I need your help, America.
Yeah, and then we can say, how is that teabaggy twitty-quitty thing working out for you?
There it is.
There you go.
And we have links to donate to Scott McAdams up at your Facebook page and at your Twitter feed at twitter.com/SM Show.
Yes, cool. God knows she's annoyed us so much that has to be there has to be some sort of motivation there. What will annoy her the most?
Yeah.
Okay, Senator Lisa Murkowski.
Scott is not ready to lead. Joe is not fit to lead. I have been leading this state for 8 years. And I will continue to do so, bringing the seniority that I have built, the work ethic that I have built, and the passion for a state that I love.
Okay.
But I live.
Live. Love.
Live.
What?
Live, love, eat.
Live, love, pray.
Love, eat. That's it.
Yeah, well, she was right about the first part. Joe Miller, clearly not fit to lead. Wrong about the last part, as Senator Begich so kindly said. Scott McAdams, yes, ready to lead. Awesome.
Is leading Sitka right now, as we speak.
Yes.
Very effectively, and without a deficit.
You know, in this, by the by, again, I was talking about the Politico story. When Republicans, they hold a small lead in the generic congressional poll, Chris. And as you've said, generic polls are...
crap.
Thank you.
Loads of crap.
Exactly. So that's all I'm saying is don't, you know, if that's what they're basing their whole enthusiasm gap Republican tsunami on them, then don't buy it. You know, they're basically, those are the stories now, the Republicans' inability to gather momentum, right, you know, in this is the home stretch now. Let's see, I love this part of the story. If the Democrats can't make their case, they may once again prove right Gore Vidal's statement that we are truly the United States of amnesia. And I'm betting that we're not. It wasn't that long ago that you really think you want to go back to those policies. By the way, Jack Conway, who's the guy that is not stomping on people's heads in the Kentucky race.
Values are important, and there were some fundamental questions that I thought needed to be answered.
Just saying. You know, and again, tying up a woman and forcing her to worship your aqua Buddha is probably the most female-friendly policy that Rand Paul was behind. So, as you know. All right, let's dive into the right-wing world, see what's doing, shall we, kids?
Step right up, get your Republican talking
points. Oh, we're still doing that?
Okay. Why not? Try it.
Step right up, get your Republican talking points. Get your peanut-sized brains. Your brain must be this narrow to go on this ride.
Oh, I kind of did miss that. You're right. It's back. Okay. Oh, there he is, that big blowhole from the Catholic League that I always have to debate on CNN, Bill Donahue.
Yeah.
This kind of filth. You know what's amazing about it? if everybody practiced what the Catholic Church teaches in terms of sexuality, you wouldn't even have people dying of AIDS. 27% of all the world's money spent on servicing people dying of AIDS comes from the Catholic Church. And yet we continue to get it by these gay bigots.
Wow.
Wow.
What a dickhead. I'm sorry.
Jim.
Do we have to dump Jim just
now?
I mean,
you can say dick and you can say head.
Well, dick means,
but not together.
Means thick in German. I was saying, suggest me as a
he
thick
has a
head.
Thick head. Yes, that's what it was.
And that will be our case to the FCC, as Jim has quite a German background. Okay. Glenn Beck on the radio.
We've already lost the Democratic Party.
What?
Right. The Democratic Party is over.
It is?
It's over.
Oh, let's wait and
see. It is the Progressive Party. It is the party of the uber left. It is the Democratic Socialists of America. That's what it is. Progressives have all of the seeds of Nazis. Or
what?
Mao. It's exactly what our founders tried to stay away from.
Johnny Nazi seeds.
When Hitler took power, the Social Democrats were by far the biggest party in Germany. He had them all arrested and killed so that he can get 33% of the vote.
You see, FCC, Jim's knowledge of eerie knowledge of German history? He's lived there.
Yeah.
He has.
He grew up there.
It's kind of ironic, isn't it, Jim? How come the progressives are the most frustrated contingent in this voting cycle than if the Democratic Party has gone so far left?
Say that liberals are Nazis. I mean, that either he knows nothing about history or politics, or he's a liar, or both.
Both. Mm.
Wow, here's Rush Limbaugh with something not since he said, remember the Massey mining disaster, Jim, when he went, where were the unions? Why weren't they protecting? What happened there?
Pinhead. Kept the unions out.
Yes,
Massey.
There was no union in that mine. Yes,
right.
Exactly. Okay, here he is.
The White House, they're discombobulated. My gosh, if Obama can't be great, nobody can be great. If Obama, with all he's got going for him and all of his majorities, if he can't get his face on Mount Rushmore, who can? Imagine if the Chilean mining disaster had happened here in the United States. President Obama, were president... They'd still be in the mine. The mine company would be facing three lawsuits. Obama would be on the air daily ripping the mine company.
The mine company is owned by the Chilean government, you pinhead.
It's a socialized mine.
They survived.
And that was why the president of Chile was on site, because essentially he's the CEO of the mining company, you idiot.
So there was a zillion times more regulation we have, moron. You just made our point.
Well, unfortunately, his listeners...
They don't...
That's right, Rush.
They have the IQ of sea monkeys, so they'll just add water. And
believe me, I worked for a Rush Limbaugh radio station. I know the IQ of the average listener of a Rush Limbaugh station, and you are absolutely right, Jim.
All right, Brit Hume on the Ripper.
Ripper.
Facing another midterm rout, they comfort themselves with the notion that it's just about the economy. But with companies preparing to drop health coverage right and left, and majorities opposed to the bill, Democrats are burdened this time by more than the unemployment rate.
Do you think if there is not a Democratic rout, I was going to say that would be one of the pundits' look on his face I'd like to see, but his basset hound face, it's hard to really see if there's a change in expression at any point.
He needs a banana clip on the back of his head to pull those skin, that skin.
Someone, they would have to put the clothespin on the back of his neck so we could see some sort of reaction.
Yeah.
Did say loud and clear is when, during 2008, when Karl Rove was saying, McCain needs to win Ohio. Oh, he just lost Ohio. I just remember the look on Rove's face, but it looked like he dropped a load in his pants.
Womp, 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 womp. Yeah. And the fact that he could even understand Brit Hume.
Yeah.
He lost where? I will make a suggestion again, Chris, because I am a helper.
Yeah.
My neighbor's basset hound, they put a shower cap on him before they take him for a walk because the ears drag. And if someone could just put it, like a manly shower cap, but a shower cap on Brit Hume, we could see some sort of expression.
There's no such thing as a manly shower cap.
Well, the one Billy Gibbons
wears.
Isn't
there something with football players on it or something?
No, because men don't wear shower caps. Yeah, I want to see one of those rubber ones with the rubber daisies on it.
There you
on
go.
Brit Hume's head. Yes.
Why am I guessing that will magically appear in Photoshop fun on StephanieMiller.com?
We say it here, it comes out there.
All right, going back on the TV.
We're now at a crucial point of reassembling the country. Now, there is a plan already in motion to blame the GOP for everything that is about to go wrong. And I have to tell you something. The GOP deserves a lot of the blame. So do the Democrats. So do we, quite frankly. But what's happening now is a setup. It's a setup for the Republicans for failure. It doesn't matter. Let me finger point to the real problem. It is the progressive ideology. The biggest strategy of this campaign season now is blaming the other party.
Wow. Because... we inherited the gigantic mess that George Bush left. including two unpaid-for wars.
Yes.
And an economy in free fall because of deregulation.
All right.
That's just historical fact, and he doesn't feel that sort of
thing. Pretty his magnificent mind with that. Come on.
What did Barbara Bush say? Why should I sully my
beautiful mind? Yeah.
Facts.
Fred Barnes on the Brit Bear to finish up.
The president's unpopular. And even more than that, his big three policies, the ones that Republicans talk about in ads against Democratic candidates, are even more unpopular, and that's obviously the stimulus package, the cap and trade, the climate bill, and the health care bill, Obamacare, as some of us call it, and that's not what they call it at the White House.
No,
but those
he's
unpopular. Those are unpopular. Those policies are unpopular, and the economy's not in very good shape. That's a bad package that the president's identified with.
If the policy is unpopular, it's because of all the propaganda being told about it on the right.
Yep.
Yeah. When you actually say, by the way, you know, 30 more million people are insured and you can't be dropped for a pre-existing condition. And by the way, your kids can stay on until you're 26. Oh, everyone's like, oh, I like that. Okay. Well, that's what
Obamacare.
It is.
No, I yes. hate that.
Oh, I hate Obamacare. Exactly. German history expert Jim Ward. John in Syracuse would like to explain why liberals are Nazis and want to run our lives.
Oh, okay.
Hello, John in Syracuse.
Yes, hi.
Hi.
I don't know if you guys don't get it or you're just so arrogant and pompous that you know what's going on here. Because I'm a Democrat, but I'm a Democrat the kind that my grandfather was.
A racist?
The one that really cared about, that cared about people. No, you see, listen, all you guys can do is make fun and poke personal attacks at these candidates because you guys have nothing to run
on. So why are liberals Nazis?
So why are they Nazis? Because they want to control every aspect of our life. They want to tell us what to eat, what to
drink. Have you looked at the definition of liberal?
Well,
it's the opposite.
The definition of Nazi?
I know exactly what the Nazis
liberal,
were.
I know the definition of liberal, but the definition of Nazi is a socialist party. It was a left-wing party.
No, it was not a left-wing party. Listen,
it was a far-right party, John.
There was something called the Deutsche Arbeiterpartei, which Hitler infiltrated and thought, hey, we can deal with these people. They're not really all that far left. And that became the National Socialist German Workers' Party. They dropped the German workers' part when they started engaging in street fights with the communists. And Hitler, by the way, had the brown shirts all killed. Brown shirts, who are known as beefsteak Nazis, brown on the outside, pink on the inside, because they still use the terminology that the communists did. And that was part of the reason why Hitler killed them.
Yeah, history, it does a body good, John.
Why do they want to control everything we do?
What are you basing that on? How are Democrats trying to control everything you do?
Take a small example. Michelle Obama wants to tell us, you know, not to eat McDonald's.
She's suggesting it.
She's not
telling
you.
We're a nation of fat blanks that are overburdening our healthcare
system. She's giving you information. You have the choice to follow the information or not. No one's coming to your house and forcing you to eat, you know, tofu or something.
But she doesn't think that we should be able to send our kids to private schools or homeschool. But it's okay.
Sure, she does.
Sure.
If you can afford it, absolutely.
Go ahead.
But the
point of that is to destroy the public sector.
You're not practicing what you preach.
What?
What?
What are you talking about? No, first of all, Michelle Obama, just by saying we should eat healthier, that's trying to force you to
eat
healthier?
That's Nazism?
Oh, well, Hitler was a vegetarian, so
yeah.
That's why.
Okay.
That's why liberals are Nazis, you see. Okay.
You guys are taking away our freedom.
God. Talking point, talking point, talking point, talking point, talking point, talking point.
He's a far right winger.
All right. Okay. No, he said he's a Democrat, and it must be true.
Right. Oh, yes, of course. He just stumbled across this show.
By accident, I tried to listen to both sides and be fair and balanced, and all I'm saying are liberals are Nazis. What?
Right, obviously. That's why Hitler killed all the social Democrats. Or had them put in camps.
Why do I get the sense that he's a fat McDonald's-eating bastard? Okay, 48. I mean that in a loving way. 48, I'm not trying to control you. Just saying. 48 minutes after the hour, right back on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, my. How ruthlessly absurd.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Get it started. Get it started. Let's get it started.
started up in here. 53 minutes after the hour.
Oh, don't say it like that. All up in here.
Up in this yacht. 1-800-STEP-1-2-THE.
All up in your who?
Phone number. I mean, I am in sweating my who.
What?
Huh?
Why?
What? Tomorrow, Hal Sparks joins us in the Los Angeles Bureau for all 3 hours of Hump Days with Hal, along with Carl Frisch, two co-hosts, Right Wing World, and Health and Human Services Secretary Kathleen Sebelius calling from?
The White House.
Wow.
Yeah. I know. Check me out. Okay. Let's go to Adam in Seattle. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Adam.
Hey, Stephanie. How you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
Hey, you know, the other night I watched an older movie called Idiocracy, and it's how in the future everybody's just completely stupid, and it completely reminds me of this election cycle.
Yeah.
Wait. Yeah, it's like that's what you were saying all like that, whatever, and we were like, what?
I'm not a witch. I'm you. I'm a moron.
What?
Hey? Okay. Yeah, I that's the part of the ad. Actually, everybody, Jim focused on the witch part. That was the part I focused on. You've never held a house or a job, and you don't masturbate. You're not like anyone I know.
Yeah.
But you're like who? All right. Will in Pennsylvania, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Will.
Hi, hey, Stephanie. How you doing?
Good.
Hey,
go ahead.
That's good. Hey, when I was listening to your Glenn Peckerhead and Rush Limbaugh guys.
Oh, my God.
See, Jim, you started this.
I know. My fault.
Yeah, I was actually going to say something worse, but the bottom line is that these guys and all the right wing, they're playing the same two or three road cards. They've been playing the same cards for 20 years. Basically, what you do is you attack the Democrats at their strength, and you say the exact opposite of everything. And that's why I'm living for the day that the Democrats finally get it through their head, although some of them are. There's nothing to discuss anymore. The Democrats have to learn one rule. You attack, and you never stop. That's the only way you can win in the American politics these days. There's no other way.
Exactly. I'm for the Paul Begala type of Democrat, who once made a fat joke about Ari Fleischer on our show.
Well, and these, anti-Carly Fiorina ads where they point out all the really awful things that she has done.
Yeah.
And show really horrible pictures of her.
But you're right. But, Jim, that's not a dirty ad. It's
no,
not
it's the truth.
It's true.
Yeah.
Although, it's hard-hitting,
but Democrats tend to shy away from that sort of thing. Oh, it's not polite.
Okay. Well, she looks like a dirty Q-tip. How's that?
Oh, dear.
What?
Oh, all right. Dear. You see, we're all getting a little heated. We're stepping on people's heads. Why? Because it's the final countdown, for God's sake.
Here we are, the final countdown to Election Day 2010.
Some of you look a little more Asian. I don't know that.
I'm not a witch.
Why did Rand Paul once tie a woman up, tell her to bow down before a false idol, and say his god was Aqua Buddha?
Big fat boners.
And I don't want them to be brainwashed into thinking that homosexuality is an equally valid or successful option.
You're just jealous that you were on Saturday Night Live.
I'm dying to see who's going to frame you, Christine.
Mr. Brown, you've run an ad depicting your opponent's nose growing like Pinocchio.
Yes. I think it's a hell of an ad. It's really...
Hi, this is Governor Sarah Palin. I'm calling on behalf of my friend Joe Miller, who's running for U.S. Senate.
Rich Hyatt, ready to challenge business as usual in Congress from day one. Rich Hyatt for Congress.
Where in the Constitution is separation of church and state?
It's in.
No, I have some fun.
Hold on. Please.
And finally,
high five. I won.
Oh, my God.
God is the reason that I'm running.
He's God was all like, oh my God, you have so much credibility, you should run LOL. And I was like, okay, oh my God.
And God was like, OMG.
And God was like,
OMG.
Church and state is totally not the Constitution.
And God was like, OMF me, you so have to run, oh my God. Fred in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Yeah, to quote one of Hitler's speeches directly, our true enemies are communists and liberals.
Yep.
And one of his first jobs when he got into office was to change the German Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, that guy, and with all of Jim's historical fun facts, it was like kryptonite. He was like,
Jeff, Michelle Obama said I shouldn't eat hamburgers. And Hitler was a vegetarian. Well, he didn't even know
that. You melted him with your history ray.
Yeah.
All right. That's it for us today. I'd like to thank executive producer, engineer, boy toy, Chris LaVoy, voice deity, Jim Ward, Miranda Moreno, in for Rebecca Taylor. We will see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.